Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. And of course, you know Mike Wall. You can find him on Twitter at MikeWall68, our favorite Thursday guest here on the podcast. Mike, it is great to have you back. Thanks so much for coming, and excited to talk some Packers with you.
Andy, you have a new hat on?
I do. So people get really excited when I wear a Packers hat, actually, because I usually wear my Live Lucky hats, which are the most comfortable thing in the entire world. But when I actually wear a Packers hat, people get very, very excited.
I wish people got excited when I wore hats, Andy. That's nice to hear.
It is very nice to hear. So every once in a while, I throw everyone a bone, actually put a Packers hat on. It's literally like digging into my head as I speak. So a lot less comfortable than my usual, but you know, I'm here for the people, Mike.
There it is.
I want to start with Packers Colts, of course, and there's no better way to start, especially talking with you, than with this Packers offensive line. So I want to know everything. I want to know, was this game plan? Was this execution? Yeah. Was this just a really bad Colts run defense? Was it all of the above? How did you kind of see this go down where Green Bay was able to have so much success running the football?
It's always wild to see, because we wouldn't consider this line a dominant line. Here's what I thought. Let's just talk about the first two series. You know, really up until Josh Jacobs fumbled in the end zone.
Right.
Like, everything's going our way. So Matt LaFleur's system had them in like doing some serious mental gymnastics that they just couldn't quite overcome. Talk about the Colts defense. You got some very, very good high level running. Like, this was the Josh Jacobs appreciation day. Like, and the fans were maybe getting his jersey. The little kids are wearing his stuff or something. Cause he was just, he made some cuts in the hole that were incredible.
Yep.
Ran really, really well, especially early. And then the other thing is they have, like, Tucker Kraft turned out to be a really good player.
Yeah.
And they're able to use not just the fact that they have Tucker Kraft, but they're able to use, you know, 12 personnel and use these different formations that are putting teams like the Colts, which quite frankly are lacking at certain positions, not named defensive line. They're lacking a little bit at the linebacker level. They're lacking a little bit at the safety level. So, when you put in that kind of personnel, you have some leverage issues. They really had some eye discipline issues on the second level in particular. And we really took advantage. I thought, you know, Tucker Kraft was kind of the catalyst of the run game this week, in that he was a lot of point of attack and lead blocking things. And was just very effective in the way he did. You see the difference between, you know, him and Musgrave are kind of two different players. So we're not going to badmouth Musgrave by blowing up Tucker Kraft, but like, you can see the difference in physicality when those two play, and it is a remarkable difference, and certainly has an impact on the game. You know, as the usual suspects play well, you know, certainly Zach Tom has a good game. Elgin Jenkins has a couple of blocks where you're going, oh man, that was cool. You're starting to kind of, in my opinion, establish yourself as, you know, with Landon Dickerson, Quentin Nelson on the other side of the ball, like one of the better players in the league at your position. So that was nice to see as well. But and then, of course, it's impossible to not talk about, you know, how well Malik Willis played, and his ability to kind of get out of the pocket, make some runs when he had to make some runs. I think it was like 12 or 14 in the passing game. I mean, they're not asking him to do a lot, but when things did break down, he was able to get a first down with his legs, had a couple of really nice passes. And you love to see what we saw from San Francisco 2 years ago, saw last year with AJ leading the run, but Josh Jacobs here, Jaden Reed here, and now we can start running the toss plays and all that kind of stuff. And it just gives you, like, what LaFleur does and what Shanahan's been doing for years is when you find guys like Jaden Reed or Debo that can kind of do everything, they are really such a rarity that defenses haven't even thought about how to game plan for them.
Yeah.
And so the count when you think about your run fits and everything gets really jacked up when you have both running backs in the – essentially you have two running backs in the game and one of them comes out from the slot and lines up in the backfield. So all over, just overall, a really, really good initial start to the game. You start it starts slogging, obviously, after that. They go into bear defense. We can't move guys. A couple guys have – there's a ton of mental errors. Some of the technical stuff shows up. Some of those cuts that were getting made in the first, you know, two quarters weren't getting made in the third and the fourth. But still, overall, very – I mean, listen, you rush the ball for 50 times, you get over 250 yards. Like, offensive lineman's not going to complain. Are you kidding me?
No. No, it was really, really fun to watch. I thought Matt did a masterful job. I want to touch base on that in a little bit more in just a moment here, but a couple of things that you touched on. I don't know if you remember the first play of the game, you talked about the difference between Kraft and Musgrave, and Kraft comes screaming across the line and completely, you know, aggressively attacks the defender, and Musgrave goes up to the line and just kind of
walloped,
just kind of hands on his guy. And it's like, yeah, this is good. This is good. Just a total. And again, we're not having to say one's better than the other or anything like that. They're both good players. They do.
Well, we can say it. It's just, they're not good at the same thing necessarily. Yes. That was the first play I put up on the video. I'm like, there's a huge difference in what we're looking at here. You know, and this is George Kittle and Travis Kelce. Like, they can both do it, but one of them does it for fun. One of them does it because they have to.
And it's so funny because people are talking of like, well, is Kraft, you know, Kraft's getting all these snaps more than Musgrave. And yeah, I'm like, this is an offense where Matt LaFleur wants all of his guys to block. And look at this one play as just this beautiful encapsulation of why Kraft is getting 50 to 60 snaps and why Musgrave's getting 30 in a specialist role, which is perfect. It's a really good role for both of those guys. And I'm very happy with both of where both are at. Also, I want to go back to Elton for a second. I know it's two games, it's early in the year, but to me, this is the best that he has looked so far in his career. He looks fantastic. He looks energized, motivated. I don't know what it is, but I think part of it was he was playing such great ball, then had the injuries. Then they moved him out to right tackle and did some moving around. Last year, they kind of really settled him back into left guard and then had the whole season to play there. And then this year, they didn't really mess with him at all. They just kind of kept him at left guard. And it just feels like he is so comfortable, happy, playing excited. And I guess I think this is the best I've seen him.
Yeah, he, you know, he's an interesting kind of watch because he's not traditionally explosive, and he's not traditionally, like, he doesn't play traditionally with like a traditional bend that you would get excited about. He's just a very, very strong, has a great center of gravity, is really good with his hands. He's just like a strong human that you go, okay, like I'm willing to engage in physical contact with you. And I would agree that I remember maybe before I really started watching the Packers again, I think maybe one year he was invited to the Pro Bowl or something. And I kind of thought, well, that's obviously it's an honor, but you know, sometimes you go, that's odd. You know, I didn't know that he was that level of player. But this year, you know, he's played again. Well, you know, if you look at the last two games, arguably the two best guards in the league are Landon Dickerson and Quentin Nelson, you know, and I wouldn't say that Jenkins is above them, but I don't think he's that far beneath, if he's beneath at all. He's, you know, he's playing at a very, very high level. So you have to be appreciative of good players when you have them. At that position in particular, there's so many opportunities to watch Josh Jacobs and company cut off of his block or be able to bounce behind his sustainability, you know, his sustainable block, and then end up making plays where you can't. I mean, there's a number of guys across our line or every line in the National Football League where you just can't rely on that. And he's becoming a very reliable player in that sense. And I think that, you know, I remember the Jets game from last year. That was not the case at all. Yeah. And so you look at the difference now and against quality competition, I think he's playing at a really high level.
Yeah, it's been really fun to see. He's been turning some people a little bit more than I think we saw in previous years and just playing really good ball all the way around. I want to go back to Matt LaFleur's game plan for just a moment. He pulled out a lot of stuff. You mentioned that he had the defense's head spinning a little bit. We got orbits. We got motions. We got three guys in the backfield. We've got pistol package, running out of shotgun, running under center, stuff you would see in high school, you know, to power everything. We saw a little bit of everything. Toss, again, handing it to receivers, running backs, QB keeping it. How did he keep it so off balance for the Colts and give them so much to look at while also, you know, really having everyone executing and making it so that they could play at that level?
I'll bet you they were shocked at the way the Colts lined up, quite frankly. You know, I think that, you know, Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave being in 12 personnel, if you watch the Colts games prior to, that puts them in a difficult position. They don't really have the personnel to match up the right way. So I think that's one thing. Jaden Reed is becoming kind of that player where you go, wait, is he going to get like five carries and, you know, six, seven catches a game? If he's going to be that kind of guy, then you have to game plan for him. You got to remember, like, when a defense is game planning, how we're going to stop these guys. There's the global kind of, okay, what do they do on first down? What do they like to do on third? But then they're like, okay, who's their dude? Like, who's are they trying to get the ball to?
Right.
And it's becoming pretty obvious that they want to feed Josh, especially this week, they're going to feed Josh Jacobs. And when they can, they want to get the ball in Jaden Reed's hand. So the more answers that question has, the bigger the problem for the defense. So one is kind of easy because one, I can just bring down, okay, I'll bring nine in the box if I have to. I'll play zero at the edges, or I'll play cover one. But now if I got Jaden Reed, I can't do that anymore. Oh, and I got, you know, Wicks is playing well. Dobbs is playing. You start looking around, you go, I have a real issue of not playing at least starting in too high. And we see even from the Green Bay defense, when we start rocking and rolling at the line of scrimmage, like bad things happen to the defense. And it happened with the Colts. It happened with us. So I just think that from a personnel standpoint, Matt's in a really good position right now, even with your quarterback being out, where I don't think you can sit on the run. Maybe it's not as obvious to defenses as it is to maybe fans, where you go, oh, just, you know, once you load the box, it's like it's really not that easy right now.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Malik Willis did a masterful job of just navigating that game, doing what he was asked to do, making some big throws when he needed to, but not trying to do too much and put the Superman cape on. He took a lot of sacks every time he's been in the game in preseason and in regular season. He got rid of the ball. I think his time to throw was usually over 4 seconds, and I think it was around 2.5 in this game. So he did a really great job of just navigating everything, again, that Matt asked him to do. I want to flip to the other side of the ball. Obviously, defensive overall performance, really great day. Only 10 points allowed. They get 3 interceptions, had a forced fumble. They didn't recover it, but forced a fumble. Almost another pick by Quay at the end. Overall, lots to take away. But
how does he drop that ball, by the way?
I don't know. Sorry. We'll talk more about that in just a second. but I want to ask you about the run defense first, because Jonathan Taylor, when asked, basically ran anywhere he wanted to against this defense. And it was a little bit of an issue, obviously, against Saquon in week one as well. They are bringing an extra guy in the box more often than they did a season ago, and it's still been an issue. So what have been some of the problems with this run defense so far? I cannot believe we're already 2 weeks into the season, and after a bunch of crazy results from week two, including a big win from Green Bay, I'm already looking ahead to week three. And in week three, it is officially time to do some winning with Prize Picks. Right now, one Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right, only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. Trust me, you are not going to want to miss out on this opportunity. What I love about Prize Picks is that you can win 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. And Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy so that your lineups stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. If your player leaves in the first half and doesn't return, your picks are still live. So obviously, I'll be going with Caleb Williams again, but I'm going with Christian Watson this week as well, who I anticipate will be much more involved in week three. Whoever you choose, the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. What are you waiting for? Get in the game with Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. What's going on, everybody? I am so insanely happy that football is back. And as excited as I am right now, I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am to be back at Lambeau Field. And this year, I'm going to be taking my oldest son to his first ever regular season game, and that moment is going to mean so much to me. Thankfully, as I search for tickets to the game, Game Time has a brand new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. I'm actually scrolling through Game Time right now as we speak, and there are 2 tickets exactly in the section where I want, and it's currently listed as one of their amazing deals. Section 137, 2 tickets, and it's just so insanely easy to navigate and find amazing seats at the best prices, plus have the exact view of the seats you're purchasing. I can see them right now. And my absolute favorite part, Game Time has the lowest price guarantee. You'll get the lowest price to the game, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
Yeah, that's a great question. So So first off, you have to say that the penetration by the defensive tackles is a positive and a negative depending on the play. So the first play of the game is an easy one. So I think Preston, you know, slants inside to the B gap and causes penetration. Kenny gets back on the guard and the center and forces the backside pull to get jammed up, and it helps the play, right? Quay comes in and makes a quick tackle for maybe a 1 yard gain or a 0 yard gain. So then you love it.
Yep.
Then there's a play later on where Kenny's on the backside of a pull and he gets thrown out the bar because he's trying to penetrate. And all of a sudden there's no backside A gap on the power play. So Quay plays over the top, actually like he's supposed to. And the backside's wide open and they go for 30 or, you know, whatever, 20 yard run by Jonathan Taylor. So there's situations like that where you need to be a little more under control. I think from a penetration standpoint of the defensive tackle position, we saw it in Philly and we see it again. Now they switched it this week where you have your linebackers aren't in the box. Your linebackers aren't in the box. You have a safety in the box of the linebackers. So you might be bringing a guy down. And that's because, you know, in the last game, Isaiah McDuffie was out on the slot. This game, Quay Walker was out on the slot. And so teams are doing a really good job of identifying what the Packers are trying to play and then just moving personnel around to get in that hipped off position where you're like 5 by 5 off the defensive or the offensive tackle. Is the worst position in football for a linebacker because you're in no man's land. You can't really do anything right. If you take a false step to the pass, they run it right where you're supposed to be. If you take a step to the run, you know, you just feel like you don't know where home is. And right. You can see that, especially with Quay this week, where he doesn't have the experience in that position to understand like what my reads are, where home is, how can I execute this at a high level consistently. So I think that it's a combination of, I love that they're playing hard, but you know, schematically they're not, didn't get the preseason. They haven't had a ton of reps. Like you can just see that they're not comfortable with what they're doing. And then the other thing, and I think, you know, people have asked me about this a ton during the week. And I found myself when I was putting together clips for my show, I found a lot of clips started becoming about Quay.
Yeah.
And it wasn't on purpose. It's just, I was like, oh man, that's like 4 in a row. He's directly involved. And you go, well, of course he's directly involved. He's the center of the defense. He's arguably the most important position on the field for them. And there's a ton of plays where he is being put in a bad position by guys getting knocked off the ball, falls, et cetera. Yep. And there's also a ton of plays where just things as simple as run fits, he goes to the backside A instead of the plus side A, or he just makes a slow read, or he takes a step towards the pass when it's an obvious run situation. And those things are, this is the hard thing about Andy, but when you start talking about like, how do you get really good at football? We can draw stuff up on the chalkboard all day long. We say, oh, he should have done this, he should have done that. But if you're not out there practicing not false stepping, if you're not practicing like tackling a guy, he did it last week and we thought, okay, well at least he made the tackle, but he tackles Jonathan Taylor high, he literally goes over the top of him, Jonathan Taylor runs for another 7 yards, you look like, you know, it's not a good look, right? Yeah. You're a professional athlete. So some of this stuff that should be, we just call it kind of basics of football, I think that we have to get more proficient at. And we talked about this on offense so many times over the years with Matt LaFleur. Was like, you always say, I can scheme my way out of it. I can scheme my way out of it. Well, at some point, the guy's got to make the block. The guy's got to make the tackle. And you know, we're at that point with specific players right now, I think.
So much I want to dive into based on what you just said. I want to start on the defensive line because all we heard all offseason is we want this to be a penetrating defense. We want them to get in the backfield, cause some chaos, cause some problems. So as you mentioned, first play, they get in the backfield, cause some chaos, and it leads to a really nice play where you get a 0 yard gain or maybe a 1 yard gain on the play. But later that causes problems and it ends up with some disruption on your side of things and a gap that the running back's able to cut back into, and it ends up in an explosive play. So from a defensive lineman side of things, how do you balance that of like, all right, we need to get into the backfield and get penetration, but in these situations, I need to make sure that I'm not getting over aggressive and still maintaining my gap integrity so that there isn't these huge cutbacks. Like where is the line? Is that on a play-by-play basis? Is that on a, like, where does that exist?
It's great. Yeah. So it's a great question. And it really comes down to the same thing I was just talking about. Like you have to be so automatic at your initial footwork that you're able to since you read your surroundings, you react to what you see and what you feel. So for example, on the backside, if the center blocks back on you, right? So if I take my first step, if I'm in a shade or a two eye and I take my first step in the run games, in a run situation, my first step should replace my down hand. Okay. So that's about as far as it should go. Like if it goes too far, obviously I won't get my step down. I'll get hit. Right.
Yep.
So in that scenario, you know, if I see the guard pull, if I see the center coming to me, like at the most basic level, my toe should go and point to where I want to go now. And I should be attacking that person. I shouldn't just be trying to, you know, summarily trying to get 3 yards upfield every single right. play. And the difference in what you see and what you want to see right now is these guys have never had the green light to be penetrators. And so they're like, oh man, well, I got 3 yards upfield. It's like, yeah, you missed your gap by 2 yards, man. Like we got a real problem. And yep. It's just feeling pressure and fighting pressure. And I think after a certain point, it becomes a way you, it's who you are and your mindset. And, you know, for a guy like Kenny, even though we've played, you know, it's like, well, we played nickel, but it's this is clearly a different style of football.
Right.
You have to relearn some things. And I think it just might take a while.
And that was my follow-up, because I think that's an interesting aspect as well, is this is week two of a new defense. Like you said, the preseason was nothing. They played super vanilla. How much of this is, you know, just, you know, needing to get more reps in a system that they haven't played a ton before, and yeah. some of that will work itself out naturally? Or are you seeing things that are like, ooh, I'm not sure these guys can actually fit this system?
So in the last 2 weeks, you look at their opponents. So the Philadelphia Eagles have one of the top 4 or 5 offensive lines in the National Football League. They have a running quarterback. They have good running backs. They have stud receivers. They have a good tight end.
Yeah.
This week, they have one of the best interior offensive lines. I'm shocked that we didn't get more pressure from Rashawn Gary. I didn't even know he played.
Yeah.
And Preston, I thought those guys would collapse the pocket more than they did. There's a number of reasons that they didn't, but I was surprised by that. But these guys have one of the better interior offensive lines in the league. They have an all-pro running back. They have one of the biggest freaks in nature playing quarterback, and they have a good receiving core. So if you're just, you know, being honest with yourself, the record might show differently, but these are two very, very talented teams up front, and, you know, kind of what they bring to the party as far as the RPO game and all that. And it's going to be really difficult for your box players to have sustained success, and particularly going back to the second level with Quay. These are some of the harder things that you're going to have to see during the course of the year. Obviously, you think about San Fran being another one of those teams, but quite frankly, San Fran's offensive line isn't nearly as good as these guys. I mean, you're talking about one player over there, right? So I think there's obviously a ton of room for growth, but you do have to put into context, they should be practicing more in the preseason. There's no doubt about it. They should be getting more live reps and proof's in the pudding. But you're going to see, I think you're going to see some remarkable improvement. Maybe there's a couple personnel changes. I don't know. But you don't think right now, looking at who they have on the board, that they're not capable of playing this style of defense.
So, and then I kind of want to wrap up on the defensive side of the ball with the player that you talked about the most and mentioned that obviously you spent a lot of time breaking down the film on, and that is Quay Walker. There's a lot of fan frustration out there. I agree with you. I think some of the looks in front of him that the defensive line are giving him are not always the most advantageous. And then to your point, there's some other plays where he's in position to make a play and just hasn't made some of those, the interception obviously being one of those. So where are you at with Quay? Is he still the unquestioned middle linebacker of this team, or do they need to look at maybe some personnel changes? Not maybe now, but maybe down the road if the play continues to be this way.
Yeah, so I think there's probably two things. If you're just looking at it, like I would tell fans this. Because Quay drops an interception, which is like, you just go, man, how did you drop that?
Yep.
That's not really indicative of whether he's playing well or not, right? Like, you have to kind of look at, is he making the plays in the run game or in his drops? Is he getting to the right spots? Like, how the way he does stuff probably matters more at this stage of his career.
Yep.
And there is so much room for improvement still. But you see the evolution of what the problems are. He's trying to use his hands. He's trying to be more physical. He's certainly upgraded that part of his game from where he was last year and the year prior. And now you find, you know, you're finding new problems, which I think is a good thing for Quay, quite frankly. I think it's a good thing that he's finding new problems. We don't have to address the I'm holding 6 yards back and waiting to get blocked all the time. He's trying to be more aggressive. He still has a tendency to take a step back and pass when it's an obvious run. He did it multiple times last week and the week before, but he is making improvements. I think the reality of the situation is you had drafted this guy out of Georgia in a first-round draft pick. Quay Walker is a guy who I don't know him. I don't know anything about him. He might be the hardest-working guy in the world. He might be the best guy in the world. It doesn't matter. I'm just telling you what I see on film. He's such a good athlete. He's probably gotten along being a good athlete for a long time.
Yep.
And at some point in your NFL career, you run into this like wall where you go, I'm not doing things as good as I should. People are taking advantage of them and I need to fix my problem. And the question for these really talented guys, more often than not, is not that if they're capable of it, they probably don't know how to do it. They probably never had to fix a real problem. So his initial footwork, he's probably never had to fix it. He was fast enough.
Yeah.
Being able to run down and make a tackle. He probably didn't face too many guys. He couldn't tackle whenever he wanted. So all of these things that you're seeing issues with are new to him, just as they are to the fan watching on television. And the question is, you know, is he putting in the work pre-practice, post-practice, film studies? Is he putting in the work to make sure that he has more confidence going into the things that are what we call his areas of opportunity? But just at face value, it would be impossible to think that there's somebody on this roster who's going to supplant a first round draft pick who's got the size and the talent that he has. When you go, it's not that far away. It just feels like that right now because, you know, quite frankly, Andy, like in this defense, if you're not cleaning up other people's mistakes, people are going to say you're the source of the problem.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And I think he's going to remain the starter for the foreseeable future. I don't see a change there. I know a lot of people want to see Edgerrin Cooper because he is that freak athlete as well. I just think it's going to take more time.
It's not even, but like that's you put Edgerrin Cooper in the middle of a Mike linebacker at 230 pounds.
Yep.
Are you kidding me? Like,
it's not going to work.
It's curtains. I mean, it's absolutely, it's just, go play Madden if you think that. I mean, it's asinine.
I totally agree. And I think it's going to even just not even the weight and everything. I think it's just going to take Edgerrin time too. You can tell he's still thinking out there. And I like the fact that ultimately they're taking him, you know, 7, 8, 9 snaps a game and introducing him more. And I think that's going to pay off more for him down the road and finding the right role for him in this defense. Cause like you said, playing him in the middle of the defense, 60 snaps a game is not going to do anyone any favors. All right, guys, it's the best time of year. Football is back. We're talking NFL Sundays, college football Saturdays, and that glorious grind of fantasy football lineups. But listen, while you're over here making sure your fantasy team is dialed in, don't let your personal grooming become the guy that gets left on the bench. Let's be honest. Nobody wants to fumble their grooming routine. But that's where Manscaped's Performance Package 5.0 Ultra comes in, acting as your all-in-one grooming playbook. From keeping things sharp below with the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra to taking care of those rogue nose and ear hairs with the Weed Whacker 2.0, this is the lineup that'll keep you looking and feeling like a champ on and off the field. So join the over 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get ready for kickoff by heading over to manscaped.com. Use the code PACKADAY for 20% off plus free shipping. Trust me, you'll be drafting the real MVP of grooming this season. If you haven't tried the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra Groin and Body Hair Trimmer, this is the franchise player of your grooming roster. With precise trimming capabilities, the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra is built for performance. It's reliable, efficient, and gets the job done without fumbling. So what are you waiting for? Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code PACKADAY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code PACKADAY at manscaped.com. Stay on top of your grooming game and be ready for anything this season throws your way.
Packages really help young players develop.
Yep.
You know, like going back to, you know, like the tight end position, like having a package, you know, Tucker Kraft's rookie year where you knew he was going to get 7, 8 snaps a game. Like that is that's a great deal for a linebacker, any young player, because they go, okay, I know these plays like the back of my hand. I'm going to know everything about them. And I know I'm going to get them. Like, I know there's going to be 7 or 8 plays in the game I get to come in. And all I got to do is perform and coaches are going to be like, great job. And let's give you a little more next week. And it's such a great way to introduce young talent for sure.
I totally agree. And they're certainly doing it too. Evan Williams, we saw this week, Edgerrin Cooper, yep. We saw this week, maybe Tyron Hopper gets a little of that going forward. Jordan Morgan is getting a handful of plays until his injury hit this past week. So they're definitely doing it with a variety of players. Even week one, Carrington Ballantyne, they gave him what, 8 or 9 snaps. He played well this week. He played more than half the game and I think played even better. So I love the way that Green Bay is navigating that.
I'll be interested to see the one question I do have about the defense is, and I don't even want to bring this up, but they have so much talent at the safety position now. Like, Evan Williams is going to be good. I mean, Evan Williams had, you know, he's a rookie and this and that and the other, but you just kind of look at him, you go, okay, well, he can play. Javon, you know, Bullard, you go, oh, well, he can play. You know that our man from the Giant McDaniel can play. So you just start looking at it and you go, man, there's like, are we going to keep all these guys off the field?
Yeah.
We haven't, the Oregon State kid, we haven't even talked about. Yeah. I mean, no. So it's like, where does that come into play? Is Stokes playing well enough that somebody doesn't challenge his job? Can he move inside and challenge Nixon? Or are we comfortable playing three safeties and one of them's a slot defender? Like, there's some really interesting stuff you can do with the talent at the safety position right now. If you're going to play more zone defense than man defense, and you're going to face teams that are going to be in a lot of like 11, 12 personnel, you can, because all those safeties are coming to hit, right? Which is probably a little bit different than your cornerback position. So I would be, and so Nixon does too, don't get me wrong, but it's like, you know, Nixon is a really good player who has to improve the consistency of play if he wants to remain a bona fide starter, right? And until that happens, like, you've got to at least start talking about, well, maybe Evan Williams should take a bigger bite of that apple.
And so that's, I know a lot of people are talking about the same thing of specifically, I think they want to see Javon Bullard in the slot with Williams and McKinney at safety. Not sure how much of Bullard you got to watch at Georgia. Obviously he played a ton in the slot there. I really like the way that Bullard's playing in the safety. So I'm
yeah, I don't know why. Yeah. So the safety position in this defense with the way they're going to use them, you would think that would be a more vital position. Or maybe a position that your highest ceiling guy you want at.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm more of the, I kind of want to see maybe 5 to 10 snaps of Bullard in the slot with with Williams at safety next to McKinney. And maybe some of those, again, you're against 12 personnel or whatever, and you want to stay a nickel. All right, let's maybe see if Bullard can play in that slot and you get an extra safety on the field rather than Nixon. Have Nixon be kind of still your primary slot guy. And then I would love to see on some of these 3rd and 15 obvious pass downs, can you get Stokes and Ballantyne on the outside with Jair in the slot? So you're getting your three actual cover corners out on the field. I just think there's ways to mix and match that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So it's not set 65, 68 snaps of Keyshawn Nixon. It's still probably 40, but you get a couple other players in there to mix and match it a little bit more in some advantageous positions for your defense.
There was a play in the game that made me think that Williams should probably not play. Like, you should leave Bullard in the back and maybe Williams is the guy that plays down.
Okay.
He started high in the 2-shell, and at the snap he runs down, they're running twin set on the left and they just ran like a scissors concept with up the sideline. He got beat for about 30. And it was at this stage of his progression, it was obviously identifying what they could do from there, which was surprising. But then the change of direction and having to, you know, decel and accelerate again and all that, I went body tight, everything. You'd see maybe Javon Bullard making that play.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm projecting, but that's kind of, I saw that play and I went, oh, I had to watch it a couple of times. Went, oh, okay. That crystallized it for me, but it's one play out of a game.
Yeah, we'll see. They're young players. I'm interested to see how they continue to progress. Still very, very high on Evan Williams. And I do think they got to find a way to get him on the field a little bit more. Last but not least, before we get you out of here, just thoughts on Packers, Titans, key matchups. And I'm sure you already dug into some Titans film. What are you kind of looking for in this game?
Yeah, so the Titans are historically very solid on the defensive front. If we're going to talk about the Packers offense first, Jeffrey Simmons has been a great player. Arden Key's there now. Harold Landry III has actually had a couple good years put together. I would say this. I don't think Landry's an elite pass rusher. I don't think he'll give Zach Tom any problems. Arden Key, I don't think he's – I kind of think he's kind of built for Rasheed Walker, or Rasheed's built for him, I should say.
Yeah.
in that I don't think he'll give them many issues. They're not running as much stuff as they used to. They're not running as many games. Like the Titans were always getting a lot of pressure using linebackers and stunts. They haven't done that in the first two games for whatever reason as much. There's a real deficiency at the linebacker position when they don't stunt their guys. There's a real deficiency at the linebacker position. So you see teams attacking them in 12. You see teams attacking them on like the outside zone looks because they're actually able to get the double on the three technique because the linebacker holds back so long. Sure. So I think there'll be some unique situations that we can run, kind of the stuff that they really like to run with that, like outside toss, outside zone looks with either Jacobs, Jaden Reed, any of these guys that will keep us out of those, you know, third and long situations where Jeffrey Simmons can kind of bear his teeth a little bit. And then offensively, like Will the Thrill, the guy's amazing, right? You start going through the arm strength, the mobility, the escapability, and you're like you start ticking boxes, like, man, this guy's amazing, 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 amazing. And then you see the flip with the ball throw over there, and you're going like, what? And you hear the coach going, yeah, that was just dumb. You go, it's wild, but they have a good running back. I'm interested to see Skoronski play against 97. Come on, KC. And listen, nobody talks about, like, Calvin Ridley is a dude.
Yeah,
Calvin Ridley is a real guy. I mean, nobody talks about that guy. Maybe it's because of the gambling thing, but you watch him on film. Like, I really forgot he was on the team. I'm watching tape. I'm like, who the hell is that?
That catch he's made.
He's blazing across the field faster than everybody else. Like, oh, I forgot they picked him up. Like, he's a real weapon. So, you know, I don't think this is a gimme game by any means, you know, particularly when you look at, like, what do the Tennessee Titans do better than most teams? They stop the run. So
yeah,
they're going to force you into a position where Malik Willis is going to have to make some plays to win this game, I would imagine. And, you know, if he can do that, then the Packers have a really good chance.
Yeah, hopefully Malik Willis. Well, hopefully it's a Jordan Love game, but if it's not, hopefully it's a Malik Willis revenge game, getting some revenge back for trading him. But yeah, I'm very interested to see how I'll end with this. What kind of wrinkles can Green Bay add? They threw the kitchen sink at Indy last week. Indy adjusted in the second half, and it was a lot tougher to do. Obviously, at that point, Green Bay was not super apt to throw the ball as much because they had the lead and just wanted to run clock and maintain it and not put Levis in a poor situation. But how can they adjust in week two, knowing that A, they're going against a better run defense, and B, the Titans now have the tape of everything that Green Bay ran against Indianapolis?
Yeah, so I would say this. I would this sounds stupid, but I would try to get the Titans in Bear. And I would try to get them to Bear because we blocked Bear, except for like when Musgrave was in and going to the wrong guy, like we blocked it pretty well.
Yeah.
Right. There's certain plays you can't run, but we're kind of slowly becoming like a double double and a gap scheme team.
Yep.
You know, because we have the tight end that can block it on the move. Jenkins and Sean Ryan are both good on the move, and our double teams are pretty good because we have Zach Tom on one side and then Jenkins on the other moving body. So, it kind of minimizes the job that Josh Myers has to do from moving a human off the spot standpoint.
Yeah.
So I think when you start looking at like how do we get to those looks that are advantageous for us, it's by, you know, continuing to run like 12 personnel and getting those guys maybe to want to go into their Bear stuff, and then off of that there's a lot of RPO game that you can run and base everything off of the front side linebacker where you can have the motion receiver come in and catching a lot of plays. And then obviously when you can get to the point where you get single safety high, maybe he's only 10, 12 yards off the ball, or even if they decide to go with a much lower look and they're trying to go, you know, trying to go quarters and bring those guys up tight, you can be in a position where you're getting one of your best receivers one-on-one outside. We saw it with the Jets, you know, they motioned out Breece Hall to the right sideline. Friggin', they put a linebacker on him. It's like, well, that's an easy six, right? So these guys will put themselves in man situations. You just have to find the right. Like, LaFleur is going to do a good job, I think, in the first 15 plays of figuring out what adjustments they're going to make versus personnel and formations, and then just try to exploit the hell out of that until they switch up. I mean, that's really the name of the game anyways. But, you know, with the Tennessee Titans right now, particularly, again, at the linebacker spot, I just feel like we can find ways to exploit those guys in the run and in the pass game, as we saw against the Jets last week.
I expect a little bit more play action in this game, a little bit more bootleg. We didn't really see any bootleg, and I do think we could see a little bit more RPO and even some, so just some read option just to get Malik running a little bit more. We saw sprinklings of those two things last week, but we didn't see a ton, and I could see both of those things maybe being a little bit more used this week.
Yeah, yeah. The especially, you know, the under center stuff is so great because it minimizes the need to understand pre-snap coverages. So I think, you know, for a young quarterback who's trying to learn the playbook, that stuff helps. Obviously, moving off, the big thing really is, can you move off the spot? If Jeffrey Simmons decides he needs to have a game for them to win, he's capable of having a game. So how do I get him to – how do I minimize him? Well, part of that equation is I have to get the quarterback to move off the spot, because if he stays in the same spot, he's going to get hit.
Yeah, totally agreed. It's going to be a fun game. I'm excited to see it. Maybe it's Jordan, probably going to be Malik, but either way, it should be a fun one down in Tennessee. Mike, amazing stuff as always. Where can we find your amazing podcast every week, and where can we find you on social media?
Yeah, Michael68 on Twitter, Process to Perform on Instagram. You can find the Block Party podcast on YouTube, on our Process to Perform channel. You can check it out. It's on the Believe Network, so anywhere you get your podcast, just look it up. A lot of video breakdown from this last week. It should be fun to watch.
Yeah, I know a lot of you guys are looking for the actual video breakdowns, the X's and O's, and seeing it on the screen. Mike does the best job in the world of breaking down Packers film, so make sure to go check out the Block Party podcast over on YouTube. It's the absolute best. Mike, thank you as always. We will talk to you next week, hopefully following a Packers win. That's going to do it for us today, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.